how did working with Miles Davis contribute to the direction that you later took with Returner Forever?
That's a pretty broad question, and I say that because I followed Miles's music since he was a teenager playing with Charlie Parker back in, I guess it was 1949, and listened to all of his solo records up until the time I joined him in 1968, and I was with Miles for about 2 years in his band. And so, you know, he was a real leader in innovations and directions in music and in jazz and so forth, you know, and he was definitely a mentor and a teacher of mine. So, you know, around the time I joined him, Miles started changing directions and wanting to find a new expression. And I believe in retrospect that what he was doing all back then was trying to find a connection to younger audiences, which he finally landed on in the 70s and in the 80s, you know. So when I was with Miles, he was just, you know, it was an experimentation, and we were beginning to experiment with electric instruments and with music that had had a beat and a sound to it that was more popular. And that definitely opened me up to my basic desire as a musician, which was to, you know, communicate something exciting and beautiful to audiences.
I was watching the film of the Isle of Wight concert that you performed with Miles at, and do you have any memories of that? Must have been a fantastic day.
Yeah, it was toward the end of my tenure with Miles. Dave Holland and myself had already announced our departure. Miles had a way of introducing new members to the band, which he dovetailed them in so that the new keyboard player would come on and play some gigs while the old keyboard player was there, just to get familiar with it. So Keith Jarrett and I played several concerts together before I left the band, but it was pretty exciting times.
How do you reinterpret the classic material from Return to Forever from the 1970s with today's keyboards?
Well, you know, it's an experiment all the way for me, because I haven't been too in touch with my electric keyboards over these past years. I've put some keyboards together from my outings with the electric band, but the programming for this music was a little bit more demanding. I'm using some of the older keyboards, basically my Fender Rhodes, and some of the newer versions of the vintage keyboards, like the Voyager, which is a new version of the old Mini Moog, and a new version of the Prophet keyboard, but also some Yamaha digital keyboards and some software synthesizers as well.
Why have you said in the past that Returner Forever was primarily a live performance group which kindled on the audience's enthusiasm?
Well, it's still that way. We all like to play music live, and, you know, I think not only for this band, but for a lot of performance musicians, especially jazz musicians, the live performance is where all of the creativity happens. We try to capture that kind of thing in recording studios and present something on a disc that can, you know, stand the test of time. But really, all the fun is in live performance, man. That's where all the creativity happens.
Could you tell me about the inspiration for some of the well-known tunes on the anthology? For example, Song of the Feral Kings and Romantic Warrior?
Well, in retrospect, looking at the recordings I made with Return to Forever and even other recordings, I have a tendency to... I like the art world of fantasy and the images of stories of fantasy and so forth. For instance, the whole album that we made, Romantic Warrior, was kind of based on a kind of a medieval fantasy with Medieval Overture and Romantic Warrior and Duel of the Jester and the Tyrant and so forth, you know. Sort of like I like to get images that tell a story and then paint the music to it.
What inspired the chord structure that kicks off Medieval Overture? That's a really catchy chord structure.
Yeah, you know, any of the musical constructions are just a result of they're not thought about. They're just done because they are the expression themselves. I don't think of them as chord structures. They're just it's just the guts of the music, the sound of the music.
Could you tell me a little bit about Bill Connors and his contributions to Return to Forever?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've been talking recently because you know, the anthology is out, and we remixed all of that music from the 70s. So Billy is in our minds, and we've been talking on email, and he made a great contribution to Return to Forever with his beautiful guitar playing on that first album, Hymn of the Seventh Galaxy. And you know, we Stanley and I and Lenny spent a week at the Keystone Corner, the old Keystone Corner in San Francisco, in I guess it must have been about 73 when we were first putting the electric version of the band together to audition guitar players. And Billy was our choice out there in San Francisco.
What attracted you to choosing Al Di Meola to replace Billy?
Well, the band was evolving, and, you know, a change was needed. And there was a tape of this young guitarist. I think Al was still studying at Berklee School of Music. He was a teenager, 18 or something like that, or 19. And, I just heard a few minutes of the recording and thought this musician has... you know, the fire and the rhythmic sensibility to play this music. And it certainly worked out that way, that's for sure.
It sure did. How do you guys meet the challenges of sustaining yourselves while you're on the road?
that's a good question, actually. It's kind of inside question, you know, how do you stay healthy touring? Well, the band actually is very tuned into... just living healthy. You know, we try and sleep and exercise and get good nutrition, and, you know, what can I say, man? You know, you have to kind of battle the stresses of airports sometimes, but a lot of this tour, fortunately, is on buses, so that we can we're traveling on buses with bunks in them. We can kind of create our own schedule that way. It makes it a little bit easier, but it does take some discipline to get enough rest and make sure we stay healthy during the tour.
How does Scientology inform your music?
You know, Scientology is a thing that I have studied. It's the philosophy and researches and discoveries of L. Ron Hubbard. People have a lot of misunderstandings about the subject. It's really easy to find out about by reading something by L. Ron Hubbard himself. L. Ron Hubbard's writings have just been a big inspiration to me my whole life.
What inspired you guys to reunite Return to Forever after all these years?
There was just a lot of conversation that went on sporadically, one-on-one between the four of us during the years. You know, as the years rolled down, we would always, of course, talk about the pleasure of that we had together in the 70s, and gee, why don't we do it again, and when are we going to do it, and yeah, let's do it. And at the same time, all of us have remained very busy with our solo careers. And, you know, finally the talk built up, and we said, well, look, let's just carve the summer of 08 and go out and play together again. And the machine started rolling to put the whole thing together about a little over a year ago.
Now, your website for Return to Forever is one of the best design websites I've seen. How important do you think websites are in communicating with the fans?
Well, I mean, that's all about, like, you know, marketing and promotion, and it's a subject I don't do myself, but I see the importance of it. I like, the reason why I like the RTF website is because we decided to try to make it as aesthetic as possible, you know, because what we are doing is we're telling people about an art form. And so when you see the graphics of the website, like, for instance, some of the design stuff and the fonts that are used are by the genius artist who is designing our a lot of our stuff recently. His name's Marc Besant, and he's been the art designer for Peter Gabriel and all of his stuff for many years now. We hooked up with him some years ago. You know, that's some of the trick of it. And my friend and manager Bill Rooney also has a really keen artful eye, and it takes all of that kind of thing, I think, to present artistic ideas on the internet and in print in a way that kind of is on the same wavelength as the music.